Blog Talk Radio.
They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And you might be going through something where you're not feeling up to par physically, or your finances need to be healed, or your family relations need to be healed, and everything around you looks bleak and dark. All the signs are not there. The symptoms are still there. The problem is still there, whether it's financially, physically, emotionally. But you need to defy the odds and stand on your faith and say, yes, I'm healed. Yes, I'm healed by the word of God.
I am healed by the word of God. Yes, it's already done. Just waiting for my change to come. But I know I'm healed by the word of God. Yes, I'm healed by the word of God.
Says that death and life are in the power of our tongue. Speak life, speak health, speak healing over yourself. In Jesus' name.
Excuse me, in Jesus' name, speak life and speak health over yourself in Jesus' name. Some of you are speaking what the Bible is not saying that you are. The Bible says that you are healed. It says that by your stripes, you were healed. You were healed. You were healed. So speak life and speak healing over yourself. In Jesus' name. So I want to thank you all for joining me tonight. I have a topic that the Lord gave me. I was sitting around the other day and I was watching TV. And I don't know where this came from, but we were watching a movie the other night. And all of a sudden, this word just came to me. I think it was on last Saturday. And this was about maybe almost 2 o'clock in the morning. And I just started writing down some notes. So I jotted down some notes. And I just shared a few, you know, things that the Lord gave me to my wife. And I told her that I wanted to teach this in the huddle. And then the Lord gave me another word. And I said, wow. So I felt that this was the word that God gave me to share with you guys tonight. So I want to be obedient to the Lord and share this word tonight with you all. Let's open up with a word of prayer first. And I want to welcome everybody for joining in tonight. And this, I don't know if this is your first time being a part of the huddle, our Friday Night Live. Welcome, and I thank and praise God for you. I am Pastor Nelson, Pastor Eric Nelson. You know, people call me Eric. That's my name. I was cracking up. I know Sheila is on. I was cracking up because before about 7:30, we ordered a pizza from Papa John's. We ordered food last night, and they messed the order up. One of the ladies just lied to First Lady on last night. And then I didn't think anything about it, and I ordered again from them tonight. And I said, well, the food will be, you know, it get here right before we go online, and you know, so we have it, so that's out of the way, and we don't have to worry about it. So anyway, to make a long story short, I noticed that on Grubhub, it didn't have a driver to say that, you know, Doughboy or whoever they send it is on the way. So it just kept saying order sent. And I kept looking. I said, well, it says that it's supposed to be here at 7:35. And so I'm like, it's 7:31. And it still says order sent. I don't see no car on that little map moving. I said, let me call the store. So I called the store. Man, got me all worked up, Sheila. And I know you're going to be cracking up at me. And so I asked the guy, I said, hey, when I finally got on, you listen to all the music. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, are you all still participating on Grubhub? And so he acted like he didn't understand what I was saying at first. I said, okay, let me say that again. Are you guys participating in Grubhub? And then he finally told me, no, he said, because we've been getting a lot of back orders and the orders are, you know, too long or whatnot. And so I said, well, you may want to call Grubhub to let them know. He going to tell me, he said, well, maybe if you can call Grubhub to let them know. So I said, hold on, wait a minute. So you want me to call Grubhub to tell Grubhub that you and your store is not participating? And he said, huh? I said, so let me say that again. So you want me to call Grubhub and you want me to tell Grubhub that Papa John's is not participating anymore on the Grubhub app? He said, yeah. I said, man, that makes absolutely no sense. I said, you guys, whoever your manager is, whoever needs to call Grubhub and let them know that you're not participating. I said, because they already took the money out of my account. So either somebody's going to reimburse me, or I'm going to have to just roll up on it, roll up to Papa John's and flip the bird, and, you know, just joking. But that's what happened. So I'm like, man, you'll get me all riled up before class, man. So anyway, how you guys doing tonight? Hope you all are doing well. So, man, I'm so crazy. So anyways, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of James. The book of James. I got something to show you. I'm reading from the NIV version. So if you even have your app on your phone, pull it up, the NIV version. I want you to read with me. Okay, I want you to read with me. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to just kind of jump into my notes a little bit, and then I want to break it down a little bit and show you what God is talking about. All right? So James chapter 1, let's start at verse number 1. All right, and then, so we're going to go 1 through 8, and then we're going to go verse 12 and verse 13. So that's James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, and then verses 12 and 13. Okay, now I want you to stay with me. Don't go ahead of me, okay? Because you may miss something, okay? So watch this. Here we go. This is James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. Chapter 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That word perseverance is patience, okay? So let patience or perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Wow. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Okay? Verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Okay, let's jump down to verse number 12, and it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And verse 13, when tempted, no one could say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged or drawn away by their own evil desires or lust, and they are enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Father, we just come to you tonight. Father, we just thank you for your grace. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for this word tonight. And we ask you right now, we pray for illumination and revelation. I ask you, Lord, that you would fill my mouth with your words to pour out to your people. Oh, God, we love you and bless you. And the things that I studied and meditated on, oh God, I'm asking you in Jesus' name that you would bring them back to my remembrance so that I can touch on those points, so that we can elaborate, so that we can illuminate, so that we can share and minister and teach the word. We love you and bless you. It's in the matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen, amen. Tonight I want to, let me do it this way. Let me do it this way before. I know many of you probably already know the topic, but I want to share this with you, okay? Because this is important. You ready? You ready? This, I'm about to drop it like that. And I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, and I wanted to share this with you all. And here we go. Sometimes we have to unlearn things before we can learn the right things. Let me say that again. Sometimes we have to unlearn things before we can learn the right things. Many of you attend your own church. Many of you listen to other preachers minister, share the gospel, preach, you know, but many people who are teaching and talking about divine healing don't always necessarily have an anointing to be able to teach it. In fact, some people who are teaching it may not have never, ever been sick before. You have to look at the miracles, the signs, and wonders, you know. And so, so one of the things that we have to do when it's being taught, when the Word of God is being taught, you have to be open. You have to be open to be able to receive the Word of God. Excuse me. So you have to unlearn the things that you think that you may know. For an example, in some ministries or some churches, you hear, if it be thy will. And just to let you know that when it comes to the things of God, it is in his will. It is in his will. God wants you well. It is in his will. If you look from Genesis to Revelation, you see scriptures that pertains to healing. I am the God that healeth thee. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, said the Lord. Excuse me, to let you know that it is in his will. God wants his people well. God does not put sickness on his people. I know many people really believe that. Yeah, some people that really believe that. But to remember, we said sometimes you have to unlearn some things before you can learn the right things. And the Bible says that, and you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so tonight we want to help some people to understand the word of God tonight. Okay, so check this out. I want you to say this to yourself, but I want you to repeat after me. Just and listen to yourself. Faith is complete trust. Faith is complete trust. Faith is complete trust. Excuse me, God. Faith is complete trust. Say, I want you to say that. Hear yourself say that. Meditate on that for a moment. Let that marinate. Let that soak in. Faith is complete trust. Faith is to be able to have faith. It's to have to completely trust. So faith is complete trust. That's a mouthful already. And that's important to know that because many people are struggling with their faith. They have faith in God. They have faith in his word, but they don't know if they completely trust what they read. So here's another one. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is evidence of things not seen. Faith is complete trust, and faith is evidence of things not seen. And what is evidence? Evidence is the information that is used in court of law, in the court of law, to try to prove something. So faith proves something. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's in Hebrews 11 and 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Right now, we're just talking about the importance of faith. Okay, and my next point that I have down here is: without faith, the Bible says that it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Are trying to please God without faith. Many people are trying to receive the things from God or the things of God without faith. Many people are praying, but when they pray, they're not praying in faith, but out of fear, and they're praying out of doubt. When they pray. I'm touching on these ones that I'm going to go into the scripture because I want to show you something. So Jesus told the disciples in Mark chapter 11, verse 20. He says, have faith in God. So when I have faith, my faith is in God. And God is the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwells among us. The Word is Jesus. So when we have faith, my faith is in God. Yeah, Pastor, I have faith. I have faith. My faith is like a mustard seed. Okay. Okay, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, I believe it's verse number 3, where it talks about how God has given every man the measure of faith. In other words, we all have a measure of faith, right? And so in order for us to grow spiritually, we have to be able to understand that God wants us to grow spiritually, right? So to grow spiritually, you have to grow your faith. Some people, they been in church all their lives and they still operate under the same or with that same measure, the same measure that they had when they received Christ. Could you imagine your mama taking you to school in the first grade and you are 16 years old, still in the first grade? That's how some of us are spiritually. We, and I'm not talking about nobody, but the point that I'm making is God wants us to grow our faith. In fact, there's a scripture I have to find out where it is. It's in the New Testament. I want to say it's in the book of Acts. I'm not sure. But it talks about how our faith grows exceedingly. And so we are supposed to grow our faith. So today I want to teach on the topic, the testing of your faith. The testing of your faith. I remember when I was in school, man, I hated taking tests. I hated taking tests because I would go home and I would study, and then when I went to school to actually take the test, I don't know if I would say I would freeze up because I know some people would freeze up taking tests, but I just wasn't a good test taker. And so when some of my friends were getting A's and B's, you know, I was getting C's and D's. I didn't get F's, but C's and D's. And it can be discouraging because you know, when they get those good grades and, you know, I'm a CD average student, you know, and so I'm like, man, what do I need to do to kind of grasp this information, you know, to understand this information? I'm going to class. It's not like I'm, you know, it's one thing, you know, you go to class and you have perfect attendance and then you still go home and you study for the test, but you just are not good at taking tests. But I realized after years and years of going through that, realizing what I was doing that kind of caused that problem. And what I was doing was this. When I went to class, I wasn't really a good note taker, so I didn't really take good notes. And because I didn't take good notes when I went home, I didn't really have much to study. I didn't know how to look for those points or when the teacher was teaching and they were highlighting points, and I didn't write those points down or highlight those points or underline those points. So when I went home, study what they pointed out, and because that was going to be on the test. So if you test someone, you ask them questions, right? Or you tell them to perform certain actions in order to find out how much they know and how much they know about a subject or how well they are able to do something. In other words, when I looked up the word testing or test, it's something for measuring the skill, the knowledge, the intelligence, your capacity or aptitudes, or an individual or group. In other words, the main thing for testing is not to just test, just to test you. It's to see what you know, what you've learned. Wow. So check this out. So when you go to church and you go to Bible study and you are in settings like this, this is where you should take notes. When you take those notes, you can take those highlighted points and you can go back and you can read them over and over and over during the week. Because guess what? There's a test coming. This is the testing of your faith. Remember the woman with the issue of blood. He says, daughter, your faith has made thee whole. It was her faith that made her whole. It was her faith in God that made her whole. It was her faith in the word that made her whole. She meditated on the word and the Bible says that she said within herself, and she kept saying, and she kept saying, and she kept saying, and she kept saying within herself, and she kept saying, and she kept saying within herself. And as long as she kept saying within herself, she was building faith. She was building up a momentum. This is where distraction comes in. Many times we get distracted. And once we get distracted, we don't really press through the crowd. She was distracted, and the Bible says that she pressed through the crowd to get to the word, to get to Jesus. And she pressed through no matter how she felt, no matter what was going on, but she knew that she had to get to the word. She knew that she had to get there. Another story. Bid me to come. Peter, is that you? Bid me to come. The word was come. Peter stepped out on faith. Peter began to walk on the water. Peter was looking at the word. And as long as Peter was looking and focused on the word, Peter was walking on that word. The moment Peter was distracted, when he saw the wind, Peter began to sink. So when you go to school, And there's a pop quiz or a test, it's to measure where you are, to see where you are, to see how much you know. It's to test your knowledge. Do you believe what you study? Do you really understand what you read? Because it's funny how people always say faith without works. This is when what faith really is. Faith is to be able to act on the word. So when the test comes, we're supposed to act on the word. many people are acting, but they're acting on their own knowledge or whatever, but they're not acting on the word. God wants us to act on the word. Okay? Watch this before I go to the book of James again. If you're taking notes, write down this scripture, Hosea 4 and 6. Hosea 4, verse 6. And watch this. Remember, we were talking about knowledge. We were talking about when you take a test, it's to see how much knowledge you have. How much knowledge do you have? How much do you know? Right? Watch this. In Hosea, we're talking about knowledge, right? We're talking about knowledge, right? I can't hear you. We're talking about knowledge. Knowledge, to take a test is to measure the skill or knowledge, how much you know, how much skills you have, to see where you are, to see if you believe what you believe. You say you believe, you confess with your mouth. Wow. I wish I remember that scripture. Hope to help me to remember that scripture. There's a scripture which says you confess with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. And many people are confessing, oh, and by his stripes, I'm healed. Oh, I'm healed. I'm healed, healed. I'm healed. I'm all the way healed. I'm healed, Pastor. I'm healed. But do you really believe that? Because when those symptoms come on you, when the enemy puts those symptoms on you, when your faith is tested, you know, and then you go back, what's going on? Oh, man, you know, I'm just sick of this. Nah, I'm just tired. I'm just sick and tired of it. Sick and tired. I'm just tired. Watch this. Let's look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And he says, now when he says, my people. Now when he's talking about my people, he's not talking about everybody. When God is saying my people, he's not talking about the Muslims. He's not talking about the ones that worship Buddha, the ones that worship Allah, the ones that worship Confucius. He's not talking about the ones that worship other gods. He's talking about his people. He says, my people. My people, watch this, are destroyed. This word destroyed, it means damaged. My people are damaged or destroyed. Watch this. For lack of knowledge. Wow. We just learned that when we're taking a test, it's to see how much knowledge we have, to see if we are learning anything, to see to measure where you are. So he says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. Now watch this. Slow down. Now watch this. Watch this. He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because why are my people destroyed for a lack of knowledge? Because you reject knowledge. Because you reject knowledge, you're destroyed or damaged by lack of knowledge. So if I'm teaching, and we're teaching in the huddle, or we're teaching at your church that you attend, and you're not taking notes, you're not paying attention, you're not inclining your ear, you're not allowing your words, your eyes to depart from the word, and you're looking all over the place, and you know somebody pass gas and you jump up and you're looking around laughing and giggling. Somebody get up and tip out because they got to go to the bathroom. Yo, well, I ain't no anime was at church today. And, you know, we do all types of things, and we allow the enemy to distract us. And because we are not paying attention, because, you know, I'm tired today. I'm not going to be able to get off. You know, and I'm just tired, you know. And so, and because, you know, we're teaching the word, and you're not following along, and you're still saying the opposite of what we're teaching. You're still sharing, not, you know, saying the opposite of what you've been learning. You're still, you know, and you're just saying, you know, I'm healed because you're on Facebook, and you got everybody, you know, watching you, everybody looking at you, you know, and then so, you know, and then you have doubts, and you're struggling, you know, believing, you know, the word because you've been diagnosed for 20 and 30 years. So now you're going through and you're battling, you know, in that area to watch this. And so I'm teaching the word. Watch this. It's not my fault that you're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You're destroyed for a lack of knowledge because the Bible says that you rejected it. We're teaching and you rejected it. We're teaching the word and you rejected it. Remember in the beginning when I first started, I said, Some things you have to unlearn what you thought you knew. You have to unlearn and learn it all over again to learn the topic of healing or whatever topic that you're studying or whatever topic that, you know, that you're looking up, meditating, studying, or whatever. Whatever you're reading and studying, you know, you have to be able to be knowledgeable of God's word. So we're talking about the testing of your faith. Now, let's go back up to the book of James, the testing of your faith. And watch this. James, verse 1, who is a servant of God, and he's also of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says to the 12, he's greeting the 12 disciples who are scattered among the nations. They're out doing ministry. And see, that's one of the biggest problems with the church is that we tend to come to church, the church building, but we're not scattered all over the nation, going out ministering to the ones that are unsaved. And so we're so busy, you know, having programs and having all these conferences, and we're constantly ministering to the ones that are saved. And so we're missing it. These disciples, they went out from the building, and they taught the word of God. Let's look at verse number 2. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Whenever you face trials, what? Whenever I face a trial, I'm in a tribulation, I'm supposed to count it all joy. But yeah, that's what he's saying. He said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, watch this, verse 3. He says, know this. Every time you look in the Bible and you see that word, know this, God wants you to know this. What does he want me to know? He said that the testing of your faith, the testing of your faith, watch this. What does it produce? It produces patience. You've been meditating on healing scriptures. You've participated in the 30-day healing challenge. And God is saying, I want you to be patient. Look at verse 4. Let patience finish its work so that you may be, watch this, mature and complete, not lacking anything. Number 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, not lacking anything, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask who? God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Watch this, verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe. When you ask, you must believe. Remember Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, when you pray, the word says, believe that you receive them. When many people don't believe that they can receive it, it's because of this one word right here. He says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. That word doubt. Many of you have doubts. That's why you say, I believe, but help my unbelief. It's because you have some doubts. And you have to figure out, why do I have some doubts? Why am I doubting the word? When the word clearly says this, could it be that James is saying that, know this, that the trying of your faith or the testing of your faith works or produces patience. God is trying to get you to be patient. So you don't have to pray and ask God for patience because the testing of your faith produces patience. Let's go back to verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. You ever seen those hurricane-force winds when it's blowing that water? It's just tossing that water back and forth. It's just tossing it back and forth. But that's what God is saying. That's how you are. You're going back and forth. You're like Venus and Serena. You're in a tennis match, and you're going back and forth, back and forth. You're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I believe one day, I doubt the next day. I believe this day, I have doubts this day. I believe this day, I doubt this day. I have faith one day, and then one day I'm doubting. And so you're going back and forth. And part of the reason is because of the symptoms. I believe that I'm healed, but then when the symptom comes on you, now you go back to doubt. I remember years ago, I used to work at Roy Rogers, and there was this little old white lady used to come in every day. And I just thought, you know, it was so cute to hear her talk. And I used to say hi to her just because I wanted to hear her say the same word every day. And I said, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm making it. And some of you are just making it. Some of you are just making it. You're not really in your word. You know, you, what's the word? I don't want to use a profanity, but you kind of have the word. You know, you fill in the blank. You know, you in the word, but then you distracted. study the word, you're distracted. You meditate on it, then you're distracted. You're not focused. You're focusing on something else. You're trying to study this. You're studying that. You're doing this. You're doing that. You're doing this. You're doing that. And you just going back and forth. And because there is doubt, and because you are wavering back and forth, like Venus and Serena, and you're playing tennis, and you're going back and forth, 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 and you just, now you're struggling. You're struggling. You just tossed like the wind. Let's look at 7. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because such a person, God said, I didn't say this, so don't get mad at me. God said that you're double-minded. And he says that you're unstable. And all, not in one thing, he says, in all they do. You're double-minded and you are unstable. Stable because I don't know if you're hot or you're cold. I don't know if you're warm or you're cool. We don't know if you heal one day, then you're sick the next day. Whichever way the wind is blowing, that's you. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Okay. Let's go down to verse 12. 13, then I be done. Then he says, well, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because having stood the test, wow, that person will receive the A, or the crown of life. That person is going to pass the test. Remember when you had to study to get your learners, you studied to get your learners, then you passed it, passed the test, you got your learners. I heard Dr. Miles Monroe say this one year. He was saying one of the only things that you don't have to take a test is in marriage. And he was saying that many people are failing the test in marriage because there's no test. They just jump in and get married. They don't read and study how to be a husband. They don't read and study how to be a wife. So although you may not have people in your life or good examples, that's the word I'm looking for. You may not have good examples, but you have the example, which is the word of God. How to be a good husband is in the word. How to be a wife is in the word. So we have no excuses. I remember my ex-wife, and I remember she's always telling me, my grandmother said, a man is supposed to have money in his pocket. A man is supposed to do this. A man is supposed to brush his teeth with his right hand. A man is supposed to, and she's always telling me, and she said, what are you looking at? I'm just trying to see if you had some, did you have some balls or something? Because you keep telling me what a man is, what a man is supposed to do. I'm following the word. You keep telling me as a woman trying to tell me how to do, how to be me, how God wants me to be. When you're telling me what you know what your grandmother is saying, and it didn't work. Of course, it didn't work because we're not together. I remember time we used to go out to a restaurant, and she would hit my knee under the table, and I'm like, what? And she had a hand with some cash in it, and I'm like, and I would ball my head up and wouldn't take it, and she would like make a face, like, take it for what? I have my own money. I don't need you to, I don't need you to do that, because she told me that a man is supposed to pay. I'm like, okay, show me that in the word, man. Show me that in scripture. I don't need you to tell me how to be me. Let me be me. Let me be who God has called me to be. Now, we're not talking about who's paying and all that tonight. We're talking about the testing of your faith. So, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life. In other words, they will pass the test. So one of the reasons why we continue to go through the same thing over and over and over and over again is because maybe we didn't pass the test. So God will allow you to keep taking this test over and over and over and over and over and over until you pass this test. The testing of your faith. Now, as I was talking to Christina earlier, and I was telling her how some people they get the testing of your faith and temptation mixed up. Now watch this, and this is my last one, I promise. So when tempted, verse 13, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged or drawn away by their own lust or evil desires, and they are enticed. You are drawn away from your own lust. Then after you have those desires to sin, and you allow them to conceive, the Bible says that it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it gives birth to death. And the Bible says that for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. So one of the examples how to fight temptation. I'm going to do a teaching on that one too, fighting temptation. I taught that some years ago at a youth conference, at a youth revival, I'm sorry, in Washington, D.C. So faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And when we say someone or something, we're not just talking about anything. That's Webster's definition But we know that Jesus is, that we are to have faith in God, have confidence in God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says, where it talks about that we should not have confidence in man. So, remember when you're looking at a test is to measure where you are, to see what you know, right? It's to measure where you are and to see what you know. Testing of your faith. No one wants to be tested. No one wants to be tried. No one wants to go through. I mean, we can all say that. No one wants to go through. And just because you're diagnosed with a sickness is not a testing of your faith. God does not put sickness on you. If you do a genealogy or study of what sickness, what it does to the body, and then you, once you begin to learn and to study and to understand what God is and what God does and who he is, God is a loving God. How many of you tonight, you're on this line, and you say, Pastor, I have kids. And I love my kids. Let me ask you a question. Would you make them sick? You love them, but would you put sickness on them? Would you give them COVID because you love them? You see people talking about, oh, he gives MS to his strongest soldiers. That's the laugh in the pit of hell. There's no scripture that backs that up. God does not put sickness on you. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and I'm going to leave it there. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, oppressed by God, oppressed of the devil. So the testing of your faith. How many of you, you're on here tonight, and you can honestly say, man, I had some doubt. I had some doubt. I don't want to be doubting God. I want to have faith in God. I want to be able to live the way the word says that I'm supposed to be living. And can you pray for me? If that's you, just press the number one. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to do a general prayer. I'm not even going to bring you up and ask you what your name, what you need. You know, if you need a personal prayer, you can inbox me, and I will pray, you know, if need be. But, I've learned something tonight, you know, with this testing of my faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to jump on here tonight and to be able to study the Word of God. Lord God, we thank you. We love you. Lord God, we bless you. We honor you. We give you praise. Thank you for who you are. I thank you for your word tonight. And Father, I ask you tonight in the name of Jesus that you would forgive me. Forgive me of doubting. Forgive me, Lord, for for wavering. Lord God, I pray that I'm going to allow patience to have its perfect work. And I thank you. Father, I admit I don't like the test, but I know that it's necessary. I know that it's necessary. Because I know that it's for the kingdom. And the word says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence takes it by force. Father, I believe that I am healed. And I thank you. Now, Father, I pray whatever illnesses that they are dealing with, Lord, your word declares that we are to speak to the mountain. So I speak to the mountain tonight. And I command that sickness in Jesus' name. You call out what that sickness is. I command that sickness in Jesus' name to go in Jesus' name. And I command you to be healed in Jesus' name. So, Father, we love you. We honor you. We give you praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, before we go, I just want to let you know that I love you, and I want to tell you that you cannot give up. You can't give up now. You can't give up now. You can't give up now. Can't give up now. God loves you too much. God loves you too much. Hey, join us on this Sunday. We're going to have communion Sunday this Sunday. And I want to invite you to commune with us on this Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m. There's no football game this playing, so you have no excuse not to commune with us, to join us on this Sunday. So join us on this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube channel. All you have to do is go to YouTube and look up at the top. It's a little hourglass, you know, a search engine, and you just click on the search engine and type in The Huddle, A Place of Healing. Once you go in and do that, hit subscribe. So every time we go live, you will get the alert that we have gone live. All right? Hey, guys, I love you, and I pray that you don't give up. All right? Be blessed.
never seen.